Hey friends, I'm so glad to be with you today. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to bring the Word of God to you. And I just wanted to acknowledge that these are really strange times that we're in. And I wanted to welcome you officially to what I call Pajama Church, because I know that you're in your pajamas, not because I can see you, don't worry, but because I know, and because that's what my experience has been the last few Sundays, is that we just sit around the kitchen table, we eat pancakes in our pajamas, and worship with you. And so wanted to welcome you to Pajama Church, and glad that you're here with us. In this time of really strange circumstances that we have with the whole COVID-19, there's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Mark Brackett. He's the founding director of the Yale Center for Emotional Health. He did a research project and reached out to people and found that the number one feeling that people are experiencing, or the number one emotion that people are experiencing right now, is indeed anxiety. Anxiety about all the uncertainties that are happening with this whole situation and globally, and all the uncertainty that's happening around us. And so I wanted to acknowledge that if you're feeling anxiety, that's okay, you're not alone in that. But there's also a lot of other feelings that we're experiencing in this time. And so I wanted to be able to share a couple resources with you that you'll find on the website in the link that you found to be able to get onto the YouTube screen, and to go back into the Church or the Grace Point website to be able to get a couple resources. The first one is a feelings poster. And this is something that you can download onto your computer, onto your phone. You can print it out, put it on your fridge to be able to identify some of the feelings that you're experiencing. Because we're all in each other's space and everything like that. And you might have children in your home who have a hard time expressing their feelings and identifying what they're feeling. And the thing is, when we can identify what we're feeling, it decreases the intensity level of what you're feeling. Or maybe you even have an adult child in your home who has a hard time experiencing or under-articulating their feelings. And so you can put this up, you can put it on your phone or anything like that to be able to identify what you're feeling when you're feeling it. Because emotions and feelings are a very important part of who we are as human beings. And so to be able to articulate those really helps you to be able to process them and go through them. The other thing I understand is that for a lot of us, some of the arguments and ways that we're expressing ourselves, irritations, have caused a lot of friction within our homes. And so I think that there's a lot of times where we're fighting about things. And it might be spouses fighting, it might be children fighting with parents, it might be anybody. And so what I want to share with you is a resource that I shared with you years ago when I was a pastor here at Grace Point, which is Rules of a Fair Fight. There's 10 rules of a fair fight that you'll find again on the website, and you can put it on your phone, put it on your fridge. And once you have, when you find that you're having one of those arguments again as a family, then what you can do is you can go to this and you can say, okay, what are the rules of a fair fight? It's going to feel very contrived at first, but it just helps you to be able to articulate what you're feeling, what you're experiencing, and to go through some of those things that you're going through and to be able to have a good fight with your family, because good families do fight, just so you know. So today we're talking about the church as a community. And we're going into this new series, and this was planned months ago to go into this new series of coming together as the church and looking at the nature and the mission of the church. And today's sermon is entitled The Church Gathered. And what I would have called it is The Church Gathered and Scattered. But right now it's The Church Gathered, but mostly scattered, because we're not able to be together, and it's killing us to not be together. But the fact of the matter is, we can't be together right now. And that's okay. We can still be a faith community, even though we aren't together. And so today we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, the first century, the first church that ever existed, and what it looked like in those early days. And so before we do that and read our passage in Acts chapter 2, we're going to get caught up on what happened since Easter. Last week we had the Holy Week, the Easter weekend, and we ended off with the resurrection of Jesus, which was absolutely amazing. It's my favorite weekend of the church year. And it's so fantastic. So we know that we learn that Jesus died on the cross, but he overcame death, didn't he? And he rose again out of the grave. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to the disciples. And then if we keep reading on, he had a fish fry with the disciples on the beach as after he was risen, which was absolutely fantastic. and he's taken up into heaven right in front of the disciples' eyes. So this is in the book of Acts now. So there's in the room together with Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus is kind of elevated and he goes into heaven, and they're standing there and they're watching, and it's this absolutely incredible moment of Jesus ascending into heaven. Now I'm going fast forward here. This is not following the church calendar anymore, but we're going fast forward because we know the story, don't we? We know what happened. And in Acts chapter 2, before but what I'm going to read for you, what happened was that the Holy Spirit came down like tongues from heaven, fiery tongues from heaven. Imagine this, right? Fiery tongues from heaven. The Holy Spirit comes down and descends on everyone and indwells that place and indwells those people on what we call Pentecost Sunday, which is going to be on May 31st. So we'll probably acknowledge that later on. But just so you know, that's what's been happening up until the passage that I'm going to read for you today. The Holy Spirit is the main character of the book of Acts. That's what you need to understand. The Holy Spirit is the main character of the book of Acts because, you know, it's like Jesus came and then he left, but he gave us the Holy Spirit. And that is who is empowering us today. And so today we have this description of the early church, which is a beautiful picture of a faith community in the first century that we all want more of within our church. And so we're going to look at it, we're going to discuss it, and I want to bring some things to you out of this passage. So we're looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It'll be up on the screen so you can follow along, or you can follow along with your Bible if you like. So those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day, right? So one sermon, 3,000 people become Christian. Like these are amazing times. This is incredible, right? So 3,000 people became a part of that church on that day. That's a busy day in the church, isn't it? And so you've got this is how it starts out, right? And then you've got the fellowship of believers. The fellowship of believers. So let's look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders at the signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Some translations say exuberant celebrations, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So as we look at this description of the early church, and what we really want to be able to experience within the community of believers that we have, there's some things that I want to look at that are just outlined there and some words that are said that I want us to focus on. The first one is sound teaching. A faith community is committed to sound teaching. And this is a time where a sound teaching includes staying true to the facts. Right now, in the situation that we are in this global society, is that we have so many facts that are being thrown around. And some of the facts just aren't real. Some of them aren't even true. And we need to sift through, and we need to look at the people that we trust, look at the people that have our best interest at heart, and to be able to sift through all of the facts that are happening and to be able to determine what is true. And eventually we have to choose as to who and what we will believe. And the same is true within Scripture. When someone is teaching Scripture and we hear something and it sounds like, that doesn't sound quite right, then chances are it may not be. But as a teacher, is you want to stay true to the facts. You want to stay true to what the Bible is teaching. And that's something that a true faith community is committed to, is sound teaching. And it's a sound teacher is someone who is also not self-promoting. It's not somebody who is teaching for themselves or teaching for their own glory or for their own recognition. That's not somebody teaching you something so that they can get something from you. But a sound teaching is someone who is not self-promoting, not somebody who's trying to elevate themselves at your expense. Sound teaching also includes leading us to Jesus. If somebody is not leading you to Jesus, particularly if they're teaching Scripture, then they may not be giving you sound teaching. Can we come to each other and to be able to understand that it's Jesus who is the subject? Jesus is the one who gives us salvation. Jesus is the message that we have of hope into this world. And so a sound teacher will lead us to Jesus. A sound teacher also invites challenge. I know for me, every once in a while, I say something a little bit off as a teacher, and I invite challenge, and there's times where I need to apologize for the things that I've taught or the things that I've said in a presentation. There may be something today that I need to apologize for. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Not so far, but we'll see how it goes. But can we come to a teacher to have a discussion on what they're teaching? If we have a question, can we ask the questions? If we have a challenge, can we bring the challenge to the teacher? And sound teaching does definitely require invitation to challenge. Another thing is that a sound teacher will stay humble. And this is a tough one sometimes, because we know that sometimes when we have all the information, we just want to bring it out there. And it's hard, and we get all this recognition and get all these accolades sometimes, that what happens is it's hard to stay in a posture of humility. But we always need to remember, whenever we're teaching and wherever we're listening, is that it is important to understand that we are simply one hungry person helping another hungry person find a place to get food. And that when it comes to the reality of who Jesus is and how he came and why he came to this earth, we are all in need of a Savior. We're all in need of forgiveness from God. And that brings an even playing field. And so we always need to remember that we can always be humble, and we should always be humble in sound teaching. The second thing I want to talk about that is community, is just that aspect of being together and presence with each other. Now, obviously, that can't happen right now. And it's such a hard time, and it's such a horrible thing to think that we can't be physically together to be able to worship God together and to be able to listen to the Word of God together as a community. Right now, I'm in an empty building. And it's breaking my heart that we can't be together for me to be able to bring the Word of God to you. But the fact of the matter is, in this generation, we have the technology like more than any other generation before us to be able to connect, even though we can't be together physically. And there is still a community, there's still a being together that we can experience with each other, even though we can't physically to be together. And we need to think that way. We need to believe that in our hearts, because it's so important when it comes to community. And there are people that I have talked to in the past weeks that I haven't talked to in a long time. I actually call my parents on a regular basis, and I'm good at it now. And we spend an hour just chatting. And it's absolutely beautiful to be able to rekindle some of these relationships, to be able to connect and belong and to build community in some of these relationships. It's absolutely beautiful. And so being together is so important. The other aspect in community is just that fellowship that we have with each other. And not just having meaningless conversation about the weather, because, yeah, I mean, we can still complain about the weather, right? Even if we're stuck inside, we can complain about the weather. But there's a fellowship that we have of talking about, what is God doing in your life? I've had so many conversations with leaders and business people through Zoom talking about what is happening. What do words describe what you're experiencing right now in this time of COVID and this time of quarantine and insulation and isolation and physical distancing? What are you experiencing? And what is God doing in your life? How is he speaking to you? Right now, you have a lot more margin. You're a lot less busy, chances are. And you have a lot more time to be able to reflect and to listen to God. So what's he saying to you? What sorts of things are happening in your life? And also, we are a community with a common purpose. We have a common purpose. And what we ask the question, what is God doing in this time of crisis? What is he doing in this time of crisis? What is he doing in my own life? What is he doing for my neighbors? What is he doing throughout the world? And as we read the news, we see what God is doing around us because he's still present, because he's still at work, and he's still doing things. And so those are the things that really build up the faith community that we are a part of. And I hope for you that you're able to reach out in some way to those who are part of this church, even those who are part of other churches, and even those who are on the fringe, or even those who are in your community. You can have some of these community-building conversations to be able to do community together. Another thing to look at within this passage is breaking bread. Breaking bread. Eating is such a big deal in the Bible, isn't it? Breaking bread together, eating together. It's the basic human necessity that we have is eating. We need to eat. And if you haven't been able to get out to get some groceries for a while, you understand what that means, don't you? But I know for us in our family, eating together is one of the most important things that we do together. It's a time where we're able to bond. It's a time where we laugh until we cry. It's a time where we argue. It's a time where we catch up on each other's days. And it's just such an important part of just eating together is this, the most simple act that we do, but it's a connecting time that we have to be able to eat food and to be able to catch up. And it just brings a level of sustenance. Our blood sugar comes up to a normal level and we're at a better mood usually, especially if it's good food, and we enjoy our food more. And I know for me, when I'm stuck at home alone and I'm eating, I look for anything to eat. Like, and it's usually not healthy and it's not tasty. And my food always tastes better when I'm with people. Have you found that? So I think that it's really important for us to eat together. Now, you can eat together with the people that you're stuck with at home, but when it comes to times where we can actually lift some of these restrictions that we have of physical distancing, that maybe you can have people in your home, or you can be at people's homes, and you can share meals together. And it's an absolutely wonderful experience of fellowship and of community together, and it's so important. Another part is breaking bread is just that sharing that happens. They talk about how the believers sold their things and they gave to everyone who had need. And there's a sharing that happens of food, possessions, of resources, of time, and just not just for those within the church, but also those who are in the community. And it's even the gesture of offering something like that is a huge deal. What I found is we did what Pastor Dan had suggested is to send a letter to our neighbors. And so we did that as a family and we delivered it to each door. And slowly we've been getting texts back of saying, oh, that's such a nice gesture. Same to you. If you are in need, if you need something, we're here for you as well. And it wasn't just us helping them, but it was us building community within our neighborhood. And it's an absolutely beautiful thing because, it's really hard to get to know my neighbors, and now this has built a bridge for us, and we have plans to get together and to hang out, even if it's only on our driveways in the front, to be able to visit with each other and get to know each other more. Another thing that we do as we're breaking bread is remembering Christ together. That's so important. We did that on Friday night, didn't we? It was a communion like we've never had. On Good Friday, we had communion together, and I know for us, we had a fresh baked bun. It was delicious. And we had like lime bubbly, which was a little bit different, but it was a beautiful moment, wasn't it? And what I felt was not just a connection with my family, but I felt a connection with my extended family. And it was an absolutely beautiful thing. In fact, we probably had a lot of our churches throughout Western Canada joining us for that service. They were all invited. And so it was this beautiful moment that we had as the Church of God in Western Canada of being together and sharing communion together. Remembering Jesus Christ, remembering his death and resurrection, remembering his body, remembering his blood that was shed. And it was a beautiful moment. And so that's something that we do is we break bread together, that we have this communion. We remember why we do it, why we're together is because we want to be celebrating and recognizing Jesus Christ in our lives. And the other thing about breaking bread, and this is the one I love, is to celebrate with exuberant joy. When is the last time you had a meal celebrating with exuberant joy? Sometimes you're just like, oh, I just need this food. I just want to get the calorie count up. But what about eating with exuberant joy? Doesn't that sound wonderful? So maybe think about that the next time, maybe as you're having breakfast right now, or maybe when you have lunch, think about what it would look like if you had lunch with exuberant joy. Just being thankful for the food that you have in front of you. Thankful for the people that you're sharing it with. Thankful for God providing for you in this time, even though it might not be as much as you want. But being thankful for all of the things that He has placed into your life with exuberant joy. That sounds absolutely amazing. And the other aspect of a faith community is, an Acts 2 faith community, is a commitment to prayer. Prayer is so important within the Christian life and the Christian community. And prayer is something that deepens our fellowship with each other. There are times where I've met with people and they share with me some of their deepest hurts, their deepest challenges. And sometimes I won't have time or something like that, or I don't make the time, but I'll say, oh, I'll pray for you. And that's, to me, a lot of times I feel like that's a missed opportunity. Whereas if I go to someone and they have a challenge that's going on in their life, and I take the time right then and there and say, hey, can I pray for you? Usually they say yes. And every time they say yes, and every time I pray with them, I never regret it. Because prayer is something that deepens our fellowship with each other. It deepens our journey. It deepens our relationship. It takes us to a deeper place, because we're not just taking the surface level conversation. We're bringing it to a spiritual level, and we're inviting God into that situation. And it's absolutely beautiful. Prayer also unifies our outlook. A lot of times we'll be in a situation or be in a group of people who need to make a decision, and we just can't agree on the decision, and say, let's just pause and pray. And a lot of times it may not help us to come to the same decision, but we have a greater sense of peace with the decision that we make, even if we don't agree with it. And so it unifies us, that it's not just about what our agenda is, it's not about what we want to do, but it's about what is the greater good? What does God want for us in this situation? And it changes our perspective in a tremendous way. Prayer also brings us into the presence of God. It brings us into the presence of God, into the throne room of the King, right? So think about this. I remember I used to meet with a group of guys over in the garage here in the church. And I don't know why we met in the garage. Maybe it's because we like gas fumes or something like that. I don't know. But it was a great place for us to meet. And there was a lesson that we had together, which was talking about when we pray, we enter into the throne room of God, and just how seriously we need to take it when we think about going into the throne room of the King. And imagine ourselves going into a throne room, and there is this King, not only the King of a nation, but the King of the universe in that room. And we are approaching that throne. That is what we do when we pray. And suddenly all of us were kind of struck with this awe and fear of prayer and being in that throne room with God. And it came time to the end of our lesson, and we were trying to decide, okay, who's going to close in prayer? And we couldn't decide. And finally, they made the pastor be the sacrificial lamb, which was me. And I had to be the one to close in prayer. And it was a prayer that was in a whole new level. Because if you think about it, God is not only a friend, but He is the King of the universe. And when we tap into that kind of power, when we come to the throne of God with the things that we need and the things that we want to bring to Him, that changes our perspective. It changes our perspective that we can pray with a sense of tapping into a huge amount of power, first of all, and authority, but also it brings us to a level of humility that we haven't experienced before, to think about God as this King. And that's what prayer does, is it brings us into the presence of God, our King. And finally, prayer invites the power of the Holy Spirit. So not only are we praying to Jesus, who saved us, but we're praying to God the Father, the King, but also praying to the Holy Spirit, who is the one who counsels us, who comforts us, who also is a tremendous amount of power that we can't see, but we can see the effects. And it's just this incredible presence that we have of God within our lives. And it's the Holy Spirit that holds us together, the Holy Spirit that ministers to us and helps us in our time of need. And it may not help, He may not help us just with all the physical things, but He will help us to give us peace in the midst of anxiety. to give us help in the time of trouble and to help us to find what we need from him. And here's the thing, that as the Acts 2 church lived in this type of community, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily, those who were being saved. I read recently that church attendance in the last month with some churches has spiked 300% since churches were not able to be together. That's incredible, friends. Now, what effect that will have long-term in our churches, we don't know. But I know that even with Grace Point Church, our attendance is up, as far as we can tell, because we can't see anybody. But it's incredible to be able to think about that, that even in this time of challenge, of crisis, that God is still showing up in the people's lives and guiding them to him through this church. And so we are the church gathered, but mostly scattered, as opposed to the church gathered and just sometimes scattered. And it breaks our hearts that we can't be together, but we are still the church. We don't need a building or programs to be the church. We are the church. You are the church, friends. You are the church. And the building and the programs, they're awesome. They are incredible. We miss them so much. We miss you guys so much. But we are the church scattered for a time. But we are the church. You are the church. And the thing is, we're not just the church on Sunday. Sometimes we think that, well, I'm part of the church because I go on Sunday. Well, that's not necessarily true. Because if we believe that we are the church, then we're not just the church on Sunday, but we're the church from Monday to Saturday as well. And those are important days for us to recognize. And those are the important days where we are on the mission of God, where we are the mission of the church. We're the mission of God to individuals. We're the mission of God to our families. We're the mission of God to missional communities that we're a part of. We're a mission of God to our discipleship groups that we might be a part of. We're on the mission of God in our workplace, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. You are the church every single day. So in this time of insulating ourselves from other people, of physical distancing, let's take the opportunity to ponder some questions together. And they'll be up on the screen. And here's the questions I want you to ponder. What things did I value a month or 2 months ago that aren't important today? What did you value a month or 2 months ago that is not important today in light of what's happening now? Second question, what does your faith community look like for you right now? What does it look like for you right now? Obviously not physically present, but are you reaching out to your faith community? Are you reaching out to others to have that fellowship? Thirdly, what do you want your faith community to look like for you in the future? In the future, there will be a time. I guarantee you there will be a time where we can be together. I don't know when it's going to be, but there will be a time when we will be together. And what do you want that to look like? What do you want it to look like? Think about it now, make a plan, even write it down so that you'll remember. And fourthly, what will you really value when you reintegrate back into normal? What will you really value when you reintegrate back into normal? Most of us, if you were to ask us a couple months ago, how's life? Busy. We're always busy. Busy doing this, busy doing that. Right now, we're not busy with a lot of things, are we? So what do you want to value? Because in that busyness, some of us valued busyness. What do you want to value so that you can have more community within your life, more connection with other people, more connection with other believers, more Acts 2 church in your life? So right now, we are a faith community scattered across Edmonton and gathered in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and YouTube. So what do you want it to be when this is all over? Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for the beauty of community in the Acts 2 church. And God, we just lay all of our concerns, our anxieties, our worries, we lay them at your feet right now. And we ask, God, that you would help us to desire community right now. Help us to reach out, whether by phone or Zoom, FaceTime, WhatsApp, whatever it is. God, help us to reach out to others, so that we can experience faith community right now. And Lord, help us to make a plan so that when we are able to be back together, Lord, that we will take faith community seriously and that we will desire an Acts 2 church where we enjoy the fellowship of believers, where we celebrate exuberantly together with joy in our hearts. I pray this in your precious name.